We appreciate each of you being here this morning. God has been so good. He's so good to each and every one of us. And if people want to complain about God, at one time I put up on one of our signs, you know, it wasn't here, it was actually at the other church, at a little sign we put out sometimes. And on there I put, why do people blame God for what they have done? You think about that. A lot of people blame God when something goes wrong. But whatever went wrong a lot of times is because of what they did. Or maybe they're reaping what they've sowed over the years, and now all of a sudden things are catching up to them. And, oh God, why are you allowing this to do? I remember this one new convert, he had gotten saved, and he soon fell away because his heart got filled with anger towards God because things weren't working out the way he quite wanted them. Well, he had sowed so awfully in sin that he had so much to reap and straighten out in his life that it became too much of a burden. Then he blamed God. Well, God, why are you doing this to me? God never did it to him. He had some messes to get straightened out. If he had been faithful to God, God would have helped him through every one of them. You know, and that's where there's an issue. This morning I'd like to talk about the fact that God in his mercy, he takes care of his children. He takes care of those that will follow him. He provides for those that want to follow in his ways. And I trust that God will help us this morning unburden our hearts. And I invite you to turn to a lengthy passage of scripture this morning found in Exodus chapter 16. I normally don't read this much scripture, but I really think that it's necessary to see it in the Word and see what God has done and how he has met every need and how he took care of them. Even in the midst of the rebellion at times, God still reached down and helped. I might skip over some parts as God gives me wisdom, but we're going to look at Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to allow you to remain seated because the scripture reading is kind of lengthy, and I don't want you to have to stand that long for the reading this morning. Let's begin actually our reading with verse 4. Verse 4. Exodus chapter 16, beginning our reading with verse 4. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. In the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the even the quails came up and covered the camp. Now quails are a type of bird that you can eat. The quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, up Behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that had gathered had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left it and until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rolls of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seeth that ye will seeth, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to keep until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. I'd like to skip down now, down to verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. So for 40 years they ate this manna. Heavenly Father, we come unto you, God, this morning, Lord. And Father, we know that you are our provider, God. You are Jehovah Jireh, Lord. You are the provider, God. You will provide everything that we need. And God, for this we praise you and give you glory and give you honor, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you'd have your will and your way with thy divine servant today, God. Would you come with thy divine anointing, Lord, that your will would be done in the midst of this service today. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious and wonderful and holy name. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to God. Now we read here about the children of Israel being in the wilderness. They were out in the wild country and they're out in this wilderness and they didn't have any food. I mean, could you imagine thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people roaming the wilderness and they had no food? But you know, God reached out and He provided for them. Now, first of all, they spoke evil against God. They murmured against Him. And God, in His patience and mercy, even reached out then. They were His chosen people, the children of Israel. And God, in His mercy, reached out and He was still willing to feed them. Now, if I could try to describe manna in some way, it was something that was a little sweet to taste. It looked like a bit of a seed, but they would take it and they could bake some kind of bread out of it and they would eat this. And it came up from the ground in the morning when they went out in the morning after the dew was gone. This stuff had come up on the ground and they could gather it together off the ground and they would take that and they could make food from that. And this was something, it wasn't just a plant life that was growing. This was what God provided by miraculous miracle. Not just one day, but for 40 years. For 40 years long, God had provided them their manna. God had provided their substance. God had given them what they needed to eat. God is our provider and He will take care of us. You know, a lot of times there's different ways that we can be provided for. Certainly, God has given us able bodies that we may go out and we can work. And we ought to work hard. We ought to do what God has given us the skills to do to earn a living. And from that, we can provide for ourselves. But there are situations and there are even individuals that God has called to a different walk or unable to work. And yet God will provide for these individuals. Now, God's promises go out to God's people. And those that do not want to serve God, that you don't have any promises of God reaching down and taking care of you. In fact, he says that he won't even hear our prayer if our heart is filled with iniquity, if our heart is filled with sin. In Psalm 60, I believe 68 and verse 18, it says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God is our provider as we're walking with Him and we're living for Him. Now, a lot of times, there is something that we term oftentimes called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is when God reaches out even before we're saved or before we've become His child. And He provides for our needs. And maybe He saved their life here or there because He's reaching out to us and He's trying to show us His strength and show us His might and show us how He loves us. So He does at times reach out. But He's not obligated to do that. He's not obligated to reach out and to take care of our every need. But you know, when we begin to call out upon God, we begin to get low before God, God hears that cry and He hears that humbleness of heart and He reaches out and He does the miraculous. He does the miracle. And I praise God for that today. I'm thankful. I think of some of the patriarchs that have gone on before us. I think of Abraham. There was Abraham. God had called him to take his own son, his only son, and to go up into that mountain. And he was to sacrifice his son. He was to slay his son and sacrifice unto God. And God was testing his faithfulness to see if he was willing to mind God and whatever it would take. Sometimes God may want us to walk in a certain way. We might say, well, I don't know how I can do that. But you know, God's able to give you the strength to do it. And He is the rewarder of faithfulness. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that He rewards us for our faithfulness. But there was Abraham. He took his son. He took him up into the mountain. And Abraham was there. And he was just about ready to take that dagger and slay his own son because God had said to use him for a sacrifice. And God sent an angel and said to Abraham, Abraham. He told him to look behind him in the bushes and there was a ram found. And he took that ram and he slayed that ram in place of his son. God provided a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And you know, sometimes if we'll just simply walk in truth and in purity and holiness, God's going to provide for our needs. He's going to show us the way to go. He's going to show us what we need to do. But if we walk contrary to His will, we walk contrary to His ways, we have no provisions, my God. We have no promises that God... It doesn't mean that He wouldn't in mercy reach out. It doesn't mean that He wouldn't reach out in mercy and try to help us. And thank God, I'm glad today that our God is a merciful God because there was nothing in me that deserved His mercy. When I was in need the many times of my life before I found Christ, and I was in need those many, many times, God had no purpose really to reach out and to touch my life. Yeah, there was no guarantee of God's hand upon my life, but yet His prevenient grace reached out unto me. I'm thankful for His mercies. Oh, that we would recognize that God is our provider, and He will take care of His own. He will take care of His children. There are many things throughout Scripture that we can talk about today about how God met the need and how He had provided. Praise His wonderful name. I think of the children of Israel and Moses, and there they were. They had been in exile in some ways to Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years and at one time it was a good thing and they were working together with the Pharaoh and being provided for. God took care of them through those means. But it came to the place where there was a wicked Pharaoh that rose up and his deeds were evil and he started to use them as slaves and he started to put their working out that in such ways it was unbearable. But you know, he sent a provider. He sent one that would lead them out of that captivity. He sent one that would lead them and Moses was lifted up and God raised up Moses and trained him and sent him in a way. And Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it'd be like to you if you went down here to the Lehigh Valley. The Lehigh River that runs into Allentown. I hope I have the right name right. My geography is not the greatest around here, but I believe the Lehigh River runs down to Allentown, goes underneath near 2nd Street, kind of runs between 2nd and 4th there at the one place. Maybe I could be wrong by the name of the river, but there's a river running down through there. If you could imagine for a moment, how many of you have ever seen that river? Seen that river? I'm sure it's pretty deep in some places. Would you like to just walk through that river? Think you could do that? You could just walk from one side to the other? Alright. Depending on where you're at, you probably can't. It might be shallow in some places. I know the one place there they ended up is pretty deep. But you know, the children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, there was a place and they came to a river. They came to the Red Sea, actually. It was just fed in. It was the end of the Red Sea. And they had to cross that because the enemy was coming behind them. What are they going to do? They got women, they got children, they got animals, they got belongings that they're carrying. I mean, this isn't like they could just drop what they got and start running. Or try to swim across. So they had all these things that they had with them. What were they going to do? They're being boxed in by the enemy. God has sent a cloud between them, brought a cloud between them to disturb them, to slow them down, to stop them. What in the world are they going to do? God's the provider. God had Moses stand there before that Red Sea, and as he began to speak and lift up his rod, that Red Sea divided, and those waters divided, and they walked across that sea on dry land. God is a miraculous God. God is full of power and might, and God divided the Red Sea that they could walk right across it. You know, I don't know what sea might be standing in your way, but I want to tell you about a God that simply speaks and rolls back the waters. And there was a wall of water right here, just like it would have been in an aquarium. And it was just stopped. That water was stopped on that side. The water was stopped on this side. And they walked right across that ground. And when the old enemy started to follow behind them, they thought, well, they're going across. We're going across too. And God waded into the enemy, got in the midst of that water, and He left that water go. And He drowned the enemy. He destroyed the enemy. The children of Israel on the other side. Praise the Lord. Not one foot lost. Hallelujah. Not one soul lost. Praise God. That's our God. He's full of power. He's full of might. He's still able to work that way. He's still able to do the miraculous today. He's still able to divide the Red Sea. He's still able to subdue the enemy. God is able to meet every need that we have. God is our provider. He is truly our provider. And I love Him this morning. I'm thankful. I've seen God move in my own life in many ways. I've seen God intercede in so many ways. There was an occasion where they were staying after they had left Egypt, and they found a place and the water was very bitter. And I can't tell you what all that means, but it was so bitter that it was unbearable to drink. And they cried out to God, and God made that water sweet. Praise the Lord. God made that water sweet. There was another occasion where they were in need of water, and Moses was there, and the water simply came forth from a rock. The water, God told Moses that he should speak to that rock. And then God brought forth water of that rock. Unfortunately, Moses did disobey a little bit, and there was consequences of that because of the way he did it. But God still brought forth the water and provided for the children of Israel. And I praise God for that this morning. You know, He's able to provide for us. You know, sometimes we may have messed up. You think, well, I messed up. God won't take care of me now. I've done wrong. You know, if we humble ourselves and we'll get low before God and we'll pour out our heart and we'll confess our sins and we'll set right our wrongs where we're able to, I want to tell you, God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. There was a time that the locust and the cankerworm had come in and destroyed all the crops, and the children of Israel had got things straightened out with God, and God came and He was going to restore that which the cankerworm and the locust had destroyed. God's able to restore. God is able to take care. We think of this account that we read here in our scripture this morning, this manna had grown from the ground, and God for 40 years, that last verse that we read there, verse 35, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. God had provided for their every need. I think of Elijah. There was Elijah. I know Brother Bill Moore had preached about Elijah not too long ago. Maybe he talked about some of these things. I'm just going to recap maybe and a few points here. But Elijah was, there he was. There was a situation, and he had stopped. The rain was stopped by his prayer, and then he prayed and sought God, and God had sent the rain and consumed his sacrifice that was soaked with water. Can you imagine trying to light wet wood? They poured all this water on top of the offering in the wood. And yet God consumed it all with fire, soaking wet. God did a miracle. God worked a miracle. Elijah then went on the run in fear of Jezebel. And he was fed by the ravens. And can you imagine being out in the wilderness by a creek? You've got no food. You've got no way to get food. And the birds start bringing you food. Big old raven just starts bringing you food. This wasn't just one time. That's how God fed him. God kept feeding him that way for a certain period of time. And then after that, when the water, this was during before the miracle of the fire there, and God sending the rain, but they were in drought. There was no rain for 3.5 years. No rain for 3.5 years. And when that creek dried up that he was running there, God led him somewhere else. And he went to a widow's house. And they got there. That widow was so discouraged. She was ready to go in and make her last meal. She got a couple sticks of wood. She was going to go in and prepare the last of their meal, to prepare the last loaf of bread that she could make. They're going to eat their last meal. And then she figured they were going to die. And here comes Elijah the prophet. He says, won't you make me just a little bit? Make me a little something to eat. And so she did. She went and she made him something to eat. And you know, that little bit of flour that she had, that little bit of meal that she had, the little bit of oil she had in her cruse that she would use to make the meal, it didn't go out. It didn't run out. It kept supplying their need. It kept supplying their need that little bit. It seemed like it was impossible. It seemed like it would never reach, but yet God took that little bit and He kept replenishing it. He kept supplying the need. You know, when the children of Israel were walking for 40 years in the wilderness, there's a passage of Scripture, I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about their clothes didn't wear out. They never ran out of clothes. Hallelujah. There they were. God provided their need. God's able to take care of us. God's able to meet your need too, whatever it might be. God will provide. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Glory unto the name of Jesus. You know, that widower, you know, she probably wondered, oh my, look at this, you know, God is blessing, you know, our food's not even running out. This is a complete miracle. But then something happened. Her son died. You think, well, how in the world would God let her son die in the midst of all this? You know, He's supposed to be providing for her, but her son dies. In the midst of it, her son dies. You know, sometimes God's taking care of us and some things go wrong. You know, like, we still live in a fleshly body. We live in a fleshly world. We live in a world full of disease and troubles, and things can go wrong. But let us not cast away our confidence. Because when her son died, Elijah went in there with her son. He spread himself upon that child, and that child was raised back to life again. Praise the Lord. God is all-powerful. He is in control of life and death. And I trust today that you'll put your confidence in a God that provides for our very, very needs and every one of our needs. I think of Jesus Christ. Oh, our Lord, our Savior. What it must have been like to come, to sit under His preaching, to hear His message of salvation, to hear that He is the bread of life, that He is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is that bread of life. You know, there was a couple of occasions where He had been preaching to them. They must have traveled some distance. The thousands of people that were there couldn't possibly have gone. You didn't just run to the supermarket and grab something to eat. It didn't work that way. There was a marketplace, but it was far different. You went out and you bought your meat fresh every day if you're going to have meat, and you made it. Meat was probably more of a rare thing because of the cost involved. But there they were. They're out away from the community, and all these people, and they need to eat. And they said, well, if we send them away, they're going to faint along the way. They're going to die along the way from starvation. Jesus Christ took just a few loaves of bread and just a couple little fishes, and He fed 5,000. He fed, and that's 5,000 men. He fed also the women and the children that were with them. Who knows what the quantity of people really were. But thousands and thousands fed from just a couple fishes and just a couple loaves of bread. God took that. What did He do? He blessed it. And He thanked God for it. And it was multiplied. And when it was all over, they took up baskets. They took up baskets. And those baskets, they brought more back in than they had when they started. Hallelujah. Isn't that something what God can do? He is worthy of our praise. Bless His wonderful, wonderful name. He is able to provide for our every need. Every need that you have, everything that you're facing, God is able to provide for it. I don't care what it is. But you got to be able to trust Him. You got to put your faith in Him, even when things look dismal, even when things look too late, even when things look like it's just too far gone. You need to say, God, I'm going to trust You. God, I'm going to put my confidence in You. I'm going to put my faith in You. Oh, let us follow our Lord and our Savior. Let us look to Him for strength and for power to get us through each and every day. I'd like to share some illustrations from my own life, things that God has done for me, ways that He provided for me. Some of these may be repeats for some of you. You may have heard some of these testimonies before. Sometimes God provides through our work. And if we're able to work and earn money, then we ought to do what we can to get what we need to supply our need. God tells us in His holy word that a man that won't work is worse than an infidel. An infidel is somebody that's far from God, doesn't even want anything to do with God, just living in sin. If we won't work and provide for our own family, we're worse than an infidel. Oh, that God would help us to do what we can, but there's occasions and places and times where there's nothing we can do, and we can trust God. We can trust God to meet every need. But I reminded of an occasion where God had performed a miracle for me that I could work under some extreme conditions. How many of you have ever been stung by a bee? How many of you ever been in a swarm of bees? I mean, your whole body is surrounded by hundreds, maybe thousands of bees. I share this story with you today because of what God had done for me. I had a very urgent need. I had a bill that had to be paid, and my business was going real slow at the time. I didn't know what I was going to do. One of the sisters in the church knew I had a need, and she happened to have some work she needed to have done. She had a deck out back on the back side of her house, raised up about 8-10 feet in the air. And the problem with that deck is there were boards that were falling through. There were boards that were rotten off. And she said, well, Pastor Keister, she said, I normally wouldn't pay somebody quite this much an hour, but you know, I know you have a need, and if you'd be willing to come down there and just work on my deck and see if you can get those bad boards replaced, she said, I'll give you such and such amount of an hour. I was like, wow, I don't know that I made that much an hour before doing that kind of work. But thank you. Yes, yes, I'll be down. And but there's one problem, Pastor Keister. There's bees on that deck out there. And I got some cans of bee killer. You should be all right, you know. Okay, all right. I hate bees. I don't like bees. I don't like to get stung. I've been stung before. I just don't like it. You like getting stung? Anybody here like to get stung? I don't like to get stung. So there I was. I had my hammer. I think I even had a work belt on. I'm not sure what I'll have. But I had all my gear, and I'm ready to start working. Picked up the boards at the lumber store, and I go out there. We got the bee killer. I don't know, 3 or 4 cans of bee killer. And I go out there, and, you know, bees don't like when you start hammering on something. They don't like that. Boy, they get stirred up, don't they? So I went around, and we tried to kill off the bees, and I went through a whole can of bee killer, went through another can of bee killer, went through another can of bee killer, and soon the bee killer all ran out. There was no bee killer left, and there were still lots and lots and lots of bees. And I was sitting there, and they're swarming all over the back porch, and Sister Vivian's inside the house, and the pastor said, you can't go out there. I said, no, I got to go out there. I got work. I need this money. And so I began to pray. I began to seek God. I said, Lord, those bees are yours. God, and you know I need to work. And Lord, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work on this deck, and I'm trusting you that you're going to control those bees. And I went out there. I didn't pay them any attention. I started to rip up boards. I started to nail down. I kid you not, there were bees flying all over around my head, around my body. Sometimes the one would land on my thing and I'd just flake it off like that. I didn't get stung one time. Not one time. I pounded and I slammed and I threw their nests off the top of that deck. And I want to tell you about a God that can provide. I want to tell you about a God that owns everything on this earth. And even those little bees that just would have loved to have started to sting me. God's hand of protection and His hedge was around me. And not one of them could touch me without Him saying so. Not one. And I was not stung one time. They stood at the double doors going that back deck, just watching me. They couldn't believe what was happening. There I am. And the bees are just swarming all over around my head. It was God. It wasn't me. It was God. You know, I thank God that He built that character in me to trust Him in the midst of hard times when the enemy's all around and things look impossible. I want to tell you about a God that is on the throne, a God that knows what's going on, a God that knows where the enemy's at. You know, Elijah and his apprentice, the Elisha, they were there and there was a situation. I mean, it looked like they were going to be defeated. And Elijah said, would you open his eyes, God? When he opened his eyes, he could see the chariots all around. God's host was all around. He could see that they were divinely protected. And I want to tell you about a God that loves you so much. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes we don't see the things happen that we need to see happen because we won't cast our entire faith out on God and trust Him and be willing to walk out on that deck even in the midst of difficulty to do what you know you need to do for God. Oh, that God would help us and be faithful to Him. Oh, that God would help us to see His mighty hand a-moving. God wanted me to go to a bus convention one year. You know, I felt the Lord really wanted me to go there. And I had a little problem, though. This happens to me once in a while, but you know, as I wanted to go to the bus convention, this pocket was empty. And this pocket over here, it didn't have much in it either. It was empty. It had a comb in it, maybe. And there I was. I didn't have anything, but God wanted me at that bus convention. I had enough fuel to get there, enough fuel to get back. I was able to buy my meals, but I wasn't going to make it through the rest of the week. I barely had enough to live through the week, let alone to go to a bus convention. But I knew what God wanted me to do. God wanted me at that bus convention. I knew that was God's will. And I set my will. I knew that I was going on a trip, that I would not be able to make it through the rest of the week. And I don't advise anybody to just shoot out there just like that, but I know what God wanted me to do. And I left for that bus convention. Nobody knew about my need. Nobody knew that I was going to be in this situation when I got back. And I went to that bus convention. I got filled with God's Spirit. I got some training that I needed. God showed me better how to work with souls and cultivated a life of how to work in the bus ministry. God was building me up and going to use me for His glory and His honor. And I was giving myself entirely to Him. I come back on that Wednesday night after bus convention. I get there to church and, you know, I'm wondering, you know, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting you. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I got to make it to payday. And I've got no money, God. It's all gone. It's all been left at that bus convention or for meals or for the gas to get there. I was done. So the next 2 days I couldn't go to work, right? Next 2 days I didn't have any food to eat. I must have starved, right? No? I got to church that night. We happened to have a little board meeting. I was on the board of the church, and the treasurer said God was speaking to her all day. She said, she rose right up in the board meeting. She said, I think we need to give Brother Keister some money for going down to the bus convention, for putting out his time, and they handed me a check for $100. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something, God pays better than this old world. God takes care of His own. God meets every need. God meets every need. And I praise Him for that, and I honor Him, and I give Him glory. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. I talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about stewardship, and God laid it on my heart one time to give the last 50 bucks away that I had. 50 or 40. My mind's slipping a little bit. $50 or $40. But I gave that money to the person God wanted me to give it to. I was out of town. I had maybe 10 bucks left for my name. That's all I had. I didn't know where my next money was coming from. I came back, and when I got back from New York and I went out to do a computer job and couldn't do it. I just don't feel right about charging somebody when you're not able to perform the work. And I got out there, turned out it's their phone line and not the computer. And I said, ma'am, I can't charge you. And she said, oh, I want to give you something. You came out here, you spent some time, you tried to find, she said, I want to give you something. No, I said, I can't charge you. I said, I don't want to take anything for you. She said, yes, you are. And she opens up her purse and she gets out and she gives me 70 bucks. I gave God 50 the week before, the end of the week. And come Monday, Tuesday, God gave me 70 back. Hallelujah. And that before that week was over, another person handed me 40. I didn't charge him either. I had to drop something off. I couldn't continue doing it. I was actually in the process of closing my business. And I didn't feel right to charge the guy because I didn't fix his computer. I turned it over to somebody else. He said, no, you picked it up. You dropped it off here. He hands me 40 bucks. God took care of it. God took care of me. I gave that money to the person God wanted me to. God gave me back over twice as much as I gave away. God meets our need. God meets our need every day. This week, earlier this week, I received a check in the mail and I needed some money. And I thank God. I opened it up and here's a check. Wonderful. Great. We go to the store, Gabrielle and I. We went to the drive-thru of the bank the check was drawn on. You know, legally they got to cash that check. It comes from their bank. It's signed. It's written out to my name. And, you sign the back side and they cash the check. That's the way it works, right? Except their lobby was closed and this particular bank wants a thumbprint and they also want two forms of identification. And they would not cash that check for me. They would not cash it. If I took it to my bank, I wouldn't have available funds for another couple days. What do I do? I prayed. I sought God. The phone rings. Another brother in the area here says, Brother Keister, I'm sitting in your driveway right now. I have some money here for you. And I was just wondering where you want me to put. And the man left me four $100 bills underneath my floor mat. I want to tell you about a God that's able to provide for your needs. I want to tell you about a God that's able to meet every need that you have. And we're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to put our confidence in Him. We have to put our faith in Him. And we don't neglect responsibilities thinking, oh God, I'm waiting for that miracle. Be like the man that was out there and he's in the water and he's going down and drowning and he's having trouble and he's praying, oh God, rescue me, save me. Along comes a fireman and they're in their boat there and they want to help me. He said, no. He said, God's going to rescue me. God's going to rescue me. And so that he wouldn't get in the boat. And the boat goes off and later he's floating down through this river and he's just struggling. It's all he can do just to keep his head above the water. And they try to drop down a rope to him with a little life preserver off of the bridge. And he says, no, God's going to rescue me. And he left it go. The man drowns. Stands before God. He said, God, I don't understand you. You know, I was believing you by faith you're going to rescue me. He said, well, I sent the fireman. I sent the person on top of the bridge. You know, God works in many ways. Don't turn away the hand of God. If He's provided something for you or provided work or a means for you to earn what you need to do, then you need to do what you need to do. Don't neglect responsibility. But yet, I'll tell you something, God's able to take care of us in situations when it doesn't look like there's anything that we can do. God called me to step out on faith back in November. God is taking care of me. God is taking care of my needs. In the month of December, the month after I closed my business, I believe God pays better than my business ever did. I had a total of over $1,300 given to me in the month of December by people. Some people didn't even know that I had stepped out on faith. People had sent in money into the ministry. A $500 check had come in. I was praying in the beginning of December, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, God, if this is really what you want me to do, the Lord, you laid on the heart of somebody to send me a check for $500, God. I want the home mission department to really see that this is your will and this is what you want me to do. All right, God, I'm believing you. I got it from that. I was confident. I wanted to pick up the phone and call Brother Cleft. He's the treasurer of the home mission department. I wanted to pick him up and say, Brother Cleft, did you get a $500 check yet? But I felt kind of weird about that. So I never did call. But I really did for a while. I thought, man, I should call him and see if a check. I mean, that's just how I felt. And I thought God's going to send a $500 check. I never called. Well, December 18th was our board meeting with the home mission department. Went through the board meeting with the home mission department. And they approved the ministry. And my thought was, Lord, send me the $500 so that I can show and prove to the home mission board that this is your will for my life. This is what you call me. I need that as a testimony. But God, in His mercy, He said, no. He said, you're going to get this as approved ministry anyways. He said, without that $500, but I'm going to give you the $500 too. Because after that very same night, after the board meeting, the only person on that board that had known that $500 had come in was the treasurer and the person that sat beside him, because he happened to, while I'm speaking at the home mission board meeting, he nudges Brother Durkee and he says, look. And he said, is that counting the money that he talked about? I said, no, that's additional. And a check for $500 had come in about the same time I was praying. Hallelujah. And they sat there and they held that check all month, because they only sent out the checks once a month at that time. They send them to me more often now. But at that time, the home mission checks go out once a month. I want to tell you about a God that provides. God that answers prayer, that $500. $500. I thank God. I thank God for His needs. You know, God's got a savings account. He's got a savings account for you. Did you know that? You don't know, it's there though. You know that check that I got this week that I told you about it, I got it and I couldn't cash it right away? $120 check. What had happened was I went to the Long March Church and I preached there on the 7th. There was somebody in the morning service that had made an offering, put a check and designated that funds to my street ministry. But they didn't catch that right away in the morning to give it to me in the evening service. And then another check came in some other time when I wasn't there, and it was designated funds to come to me, and they mailed me the check. It was God's savings account, because I needed that $120 this week, not back on the 7th. And God sometimes takes care of us. He only gives us what He knows we need. Sometimes our wants are far greater than our true needs. God has taken care of my every need. I have not totaled or summarized the amounts. I can estimate off the top of my head that God has already provided me, between gifts and money that's come into the ministry by me speaking, over $1,000 this month. God has provided for me. I haven't worked since November. And it's not that I want to neglect work. I'm a hard worker. I work too much. I drive myself to the brink of collapse with work. But I feel in my heart that God has put a burden on my heart that I'm to work for Him and I'm to work for Him alone. And He's going to provide for my need. I do work. I work for the kingdom of God. And I've got the greatest boss on earth. Hallelujah. He provides my every need. We don't have a set salary. We don't have a contract. We don't have anything. I trust Him and He provides. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I go out and I do what He wants to do. I believe He pays more when I get out more too. Hallelujah. God is good. God takes care of His own. He's worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Can you trust Him? I'm no one. I mean that. I'm nobody special. God hasn't done these things for me just because I'm Rodney Keister and I'm somebody special to God. God has done this because He will receive glory. He will receive honor. And oh, that God would help me to testify to the goodness and the grace and the pleasant, wonderful presence of God in my life. I thank God for what He's done in my life. You know, I would imagine if we stood here and gave testimonies of the different things that God's brought you through, we could spend the rest of the afternoon just praising God. God is so good, and He will provide for you if you trust Him. If anything, if you can walk away from this morning's message saying, not God's done something wonderful for Brother Keys, but saying, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. And I have found it is so true, the more that I give, the more that I give of myself and of my time, the more God gives unto me. Some churches, if we take this on the church level, some churches will always struggle financially. Some churches will always be spiraling down because they're not giving to God. They're trying to hold, they're trying to hoard, they're trying to hang on to, and that's when God just... Why would He give some place where they're just going to hoard it? He won't give it to us if we're just going to hoard it either. If all we've got to do is just to hang on to what we got because, oh, I can't let go of that. I've got that. Why would God possibly need to give us anymore? You got what you need. But I believe that we take what we got and we start to use it for God. Sister Potak talked about the man that was tithing 90% of his business, 90%, and God was taking care of his every need. I know a pastor in our conference, he started out as a young pastor and he's tithing. I think he's up to about 15%. He said, as I go along and God prospers and helps me, he said that percentage is going to go up. He didn't tell me where he was going to stop it. But he's increasing the amount that he's giving to you. This isn't a sermon to get you to put more money in the offering. But if you want help from God, give to God's work, even if it's not here. Maybe there's a missionary. God says, I want you to be a supporter of that missionary. I want you to be a monthly supporter of $5, $10, $100 a month, whatever you can give to that cause, to that case. Oh, that God would help us to be faithful, then God will bring Himself glory and honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and all glory and honor belong unto God for what He has done. He is worthy of our praise. Worthy of our praise. Let us rise in the closing word of prayer this morning. And I like with all heads bowed this morning, maybe you feel a little convicted this morning when we think about giving or we think about our time for God. While we're here silently, would you just tell God about it? Would you say, God, I do feel convicted. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to help me to trust you. Help me to give the way you want me to give. Lord, help me to do your will. Help me to have faith, God, to trust you, that I trust not in my own resources and times and doings. But God, that I would cast myself out on you. Just like Peter who walked out on the water, knowing that he could simply fall and drown, but yet he walked on water. It's impossible in the eyes of man. But God, may you give us faith that we could walk on water. May you give us faith, Lord God, that we can walk that walk of faith, Lord, and watch you provide for our needs. Give us wisdom to know what is to be work for us and what is to be faith. Lord, I pray, God, that you would call many into the laboring of thy kingdom. Burden our hearts, God. And Father, may you receive glory from anyone that may listen to this on tape or on the internet. We pray, God, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, and you would strengthen them, Lord, because you are full of power and might and dominion is all thine, God. Everything that we are, everything that we own, Lord, we know that it belongs unto you, God. And we're thankful, Father, because that takes a whole lot of our management out of it, Lord, because we can simply put our trust and confidence in you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for all that you provide and all the examples you set before us, God. You deserve all the glory and honor for what you have done, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a little part of that, Lord. And Father, that you saw fit to use mortal men such as us in these ways, God, that you could bring yourself glory, Lord. Blessed is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.